It's amazing to be in God's house, amen? Listen, I just want to say we had such an amazing camp. And if you couldn't make it this time, please don't feel bad, but try your best to make it next time. We had so much fun. I don't have a voice anymore. I'm a bit man down, I must say. But when I'm weak, God is strong, amen? That's why camp is good, because I don't know how I'm going to make the sermon that evening, and then God can do His work. So I'm happy for that. Just to give you guys a brief overview of what we are busy with at the moment, what's in my heart, and what I'm spending some very intentional time on with my leaders while Regis is downing communion wine. Go for it, go for it. You can see the old inferno people, I'm telling you. I mean, it's a funnige Ellenboog. Any case, we love every person. We committed to walk a road with every person in this church, so don't worry, okay? What's very important for us at this moment, it must come through to the whole church, and that's why I'm just asking every small group leader, what we're doing on tonight, please take it to small group this week, okay? This needs to come through. This is from God. This is how we're aligning at this stage. Every year in January, February, March, there's a time of spiritual openness in this town. There's a lot of new people and a lot of people that have strayed away from God. Normally, around that time of the year, they want to renew their commitment to God. There's a good chance that if you've got good relationship with people at work and they've been very hard, but you've just loved on them and stuff, there's a good chance that they'd ask you in January to come to church with you. I don't know why, it just works like that. And that's a good thing, amen? The Bible speaks about seasons. It says the Holy Spirit's like a wind. We don't always understand, but it blows and hearts change. And the key thing for us is to be ready. So we're talking on a lot this thing of preparing our hearts to receive new family members, just like we did tonight. Are we ready to have to double our friendship capacity? Are we ready to be a friend for that person that needs a friend? Gili spoke with us this weekend on the camp. He's the pastor from Shofar Poch, and he did this exercise with us, and I want you to do it for a while. Don't you just want to close your eyes? I'm going to ask you a question, and let's see what pops up. Before you gave your heart to the Lord, I want to ask you, was there a certain person who was very generous in loving you and taking care of you before you committed to Christ? Was there someone there? Was there a person that spent time with you that wasn't put off by the way you talk or the way you look at stuff? And if that's true, just quickly put up your hand and say, yes, that's true. Okay, and that's basically all of us. Okay, you can open your eyes. Now that person that played that very key part in your life, are you willing to be that person for someone else? That's the question we're asking. That's basically what it's coming down to. Are you willing to be that person for someone? Because that's what's needed. And so I wanted to just talk about relational evangelism. So I came up with this amazing topic. It is a message on relational evangelism. How's that? I must say that's really something. Evangelism, okay, it's a word some of you know, some of you don't like it. Some of you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But here's the thing. Evangelism is this: to lead people to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. That's it. All right? And we can go into it further and make a study of it. But baseline, evangelism is this. And the question is, who of us should lead someone to Jesus? The answer is all of us. And it's a bit sometimes intimidating for us. And so we go to the fivefold ministry, which speaks about different gifts. And it says there's evangelists, there's pastors, there's prophets, there's teachers. And then it says for the equipping of the saints. And sometimes we say, but I'm not an evangelist. I'm not really gifted in working with people that does not know God. But the thing about the fivefold ministry, if you're not with me now, don't worry, is it really speaks about an apostolic leadership on the top end of church, which means the Bible says when it comes to the spiritual leaders of this country, they will differ in such a way so that God's word comes to us balanced. All right? So someone might be an evangelist. Who'll be a good example of that? Angus Buchan, right? Who knows Angus? What does he do? He pitch a tent and thousands come and they give their hearts to Christ. Now what he's gotten really good in is connecting those people to churches. Because if they only make a commitment to Christ and don't commit to church, then they will fall away. So he needs to connect with the pastors to take those people in a Walker Road with them like we are doing here. That's my son. He's singing. It's not crying. Okay, but when it comes to the fivefold ministry, it doesn't mean we don't function in any other thing. For example, I'm maybe a bit more of an evangelist, okay? Maybe a combination. But it doesn't mean I don't open my heart to get a vision from God when I pray or to prophesy over people. Are you with me? It just means I really lean to that side. But when it comes to us next year, it's easy. Each one reach one. Each one bring one. Each one love one. All right? Evangelism, you're going to hear this word a few times in the sermon, and just remember that. It's to lead someone to Christ. So let's make a few declarations in this place, okay? Quickly say after me. Shofar Sekunda is good with evangelism. Say, I am an evangelist. I can lead people to Christ. We can lead people to Christ. We are amazing at loving people. We introduce people to Jesus because we love them. Amen. Paul says that everything he does is that he might save some unto Christ. Everything. Every relationship, everything is so that the most amazing thing can happen in that person's life, that they never have to go to hell. It's the biggest love you can give to a person is to bring them to Christ so that they can spend eternity with God. You cannot love them anymore in any other way. Amen? We agree on that. Okay, so let's quickly just, I'm working to a place of giving you guys 3 points tonight, but let's just come onto one page. Rudy, can I have you on the base bin? You know that's your place in church. Rudy, Jesus on the base bin, arms open, here's our cross. Thank you, Rudy. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, all right? Seek and save the lost. Can we get the next slide on? Christ knows, he's very aware, if this is where someone gets saved and they're walking this way, we've done this 1,000 times in church, then Jesus knows that there's people living this side. He knows it. And he says, that's why I came. I came here to earth so that people might meet me and be with me forever and be free and do amazing things in this world. And then he says to his disciples, he says, go into the nations and make disciples of all the people. All right, so Jesus says, if you are find yourself on this side, like tonight, if you became a member, you know Christ. Are we together? You know him, you're in a small group, you're growing. Jesus wants you in your life to move from people from this side, take them by the hand and bring them to this side and never stop all of your life. Are you with me? That's why we are here. And so if we can have that slide of spiritual formation on, please. Great. Spiritual formation speaks of the growth of the disciple. All right? Once someone has reached Jesus here, have given the heart to him, be baptized, we can start to build strongly into their lives. And if you look at that screen, it's actually what we do as a church. We're very good at it. We've got church services, small groups. We've got all these encounters that have changed lives in this town. We've got accountability groups. Who's an accountability group at the moment? A lot of you guys, okay? It's part of what we do. We've got the Awaken Women's Conference. We've got the Men's Camp. And I haven't apologized publicly, but I'll do so. So here it goes. Last year, I made the announcement that this year we would start with Bible school. I'm so sorry. We didn't. And here's the reason. We didn't know we were going to move here. And we wanted to start in the middle of the year. And the move to Kiro just broke us in terms of human capacity to literally minister. I mean, our setup team tripled. The guys have to be here at 12. The other side, they were there at 2. And for us, it was just something we have to grow in. And we grew into that. So next year, in the middle of the year, we're launching Bible school, and Gretchen is very happy. Because she's been bugging me with this for a long time, but that's good. But if you look at those things, as a church group, we're very well equipped to build the disciple up. It's something we're really good in. I think our material is top notch. But here's the thing. People don't come from this side and sign up for that. Are you with me? Do you agree with me? People don't come in lines just to rock up. The guys on this side are very excited. They want to grow because something in their heart awakened. All right? So something needs to happen here, and this is where we're at tonight. We need to go and love people, take them by the hand until they reach Christ. And then that kicks in very strongly, and we make disciples. Are we all together? I'll get ready. And so, I'm going to give us tonight three things. Three ways, the evangelist, the one who saves souls, three things to make his work more effective in this town. And I want you to write this down. I want you to memorize this. I want you to know this and take this back to your workplace, your families, your friends, to the gym, to the sports field. Wherever you go, something can happen. Did you know that? But just before I get to the three things that's important, I want to talk about the heart of the evangelist. Two things needs to be settled in the heart of the evangelist. Then we're going to talk about the process, what's going to make it easier. The two things in his heart is this. Number one, he's willing to pursue sacrificial relationship, sacrificial friendship. That must be in the heart of the person that's here. It's the only way you're going to impact the heart out there if you are willing to make a new friend. If you are willing to be kind to a person that might be talking behind your back at work. Are you willing to have someone over for dinner, even if they refuse and will never come, even if they badmouth you? Are you willing to have a sacrificial friendship? What that means, the sacrificial friendship, is that you don't expect anything back. Jesus Christ died for everyone. Many will never come to him. Blood was spilled. In this world, missionaries has gone over the world, traveled seas, left their families just to come to a place where people would not respond. Are we willing to take that risk in this town? Are you willing to go on after that person has hurt you, dropped you a few times, made you feel like this relationship means nothing to them? Are you willing to keep on pursuing that relationship because that's what Christ did with you? And that one person you thought about when we closed our eyes, that's what that person did. Amen? Sacrificial friendship. The other thing is just to pursue it means there's an intentionality. There's a place, there's a space we should open up in our lives where we say Thursday evenings or Tuesday evenings or Tuesday evening, the first of every month, we must have someone in our house that we can just love because they need love. And then that invitation might come as a shock to them because they don't think you guys are friends, but what you are doing, you're doing what Christ is doing. You're seeking and saving the lost. Amen. The second thing is, he skillfully testifies. What that means is, he's made up his mind, I will talk of Jesus. Before he goes out, before we talk about what he does out there, he's made up his mind in here, I will rather talk about Christ and have people unhappy with me than miss an opportunity to share Christ. I've made up my mind, that's me. What happened in my life is that one time I was working at Sports Science in Cape Town. And I didn't even notice, but I had my mission t-shirt on. You know how the married women, they know this. You know how your men dress? They just take the t-shirt on top and they put it on. So if he wears 4 t-shirts a week, that's the 4 he'll be wearing that year. Because you'll wash it and he'll put it on. Anyone agree with me? Okay. So to make that easier for me, I had 3 missions t-shirts and they were in the top 5 t-shirts, so I basically wore them all the time. And that one said, I think it said, I have come to seek and save the lost. I'm not sure. That blue one, who remembers that blue one? Something like that. And so there was this Muslim guy, it was our first day, they were just, you know, aligning us into Sports Science, showing us the place. And so he says, oh, are you religious? And that was the first question he ever asked me. We became friends later. And I said, I'm not sure what you mean by religious, but I love Jesus Christ and I serve him with my life. But he asked it in front of the whole group. And it was an awkward moment and some people was like chuckling. But then that Sunday, 3 people came to church and maybe a few others thought I was stupid, but I don't care. Because 3 came to church and they still in Cape Town are their leaders. Can we make up our mind that when the opportunity presents, we will stand for Christ? That is needed for evangelism to happen. Are you with me, guys? And just what I mean with skillfully, I mean sometimes you need to know what's going on. Okay, if you like to pray in spiritual warfare and you invite a bunch of new people over to your house for a braai, and when you pray for the food, you start shabara. Okay, let me tell you what, that is not skillful. That is very stupid, okay? They don't understand what you are doing. So what you might want to do, because people are used to this thing, we pray for food, you might just stand up and say, listen, before I pray for the food, I just want to say, it's amazing having you guys here, and I know God has a plan for each of you. I know that with all my heart. And thanks for being here tonight. It blesses me. Let's pray for the food. Maybe that's all what's needed. I'm talking about skillfully talking about Christ in every opportunity without it feeling to someone that you are pressing into their space and forcing what is in your heart on them before they've even met Christ. They haven't made this decision. We can't hold them to this. They're this side. What is needed? Encouragement. He loves you. There's a plan for your life. Giver of hope. Amen. So praise God also for the rugby tradition. I don't know why, but we still pray before we play. Everything afterwards shows that we don't really know why we're praying. But I'm thankful for that opportunity because we can pray. And for us, that's there, a lot of you guys. Maybe every once in a while, I'll just say, just before I pray, I just want to say, this week I had such a bad week and God was just close to me. And I just want to say, before we pray, he's amazing. I haven't asked him a question. I didn't ask him to respond or own up to anything. I just said, God was good to me this week, and we pray. Skillfully testify. Does that make sense? It's like saying, did you see last night's episode of CSI? It was amazing. No one needs to respond. You just said something. Did you have an amazing time with Jesus this morning? Maybe at work, that person that has coffee with you, you can just say, you know what, I was down this morning, and after I prayed, man, I just feel a lot better. How are you doing? Okay? Those two things. This is where we start. A lot of people have, number one, okay, so maybe they've got guts, and then they stand on street corners, and they shout at people. The end is coming. You're going to all die. okay, you've got guts, but what are you accomplishing here? Nothing. Some people are very skilled. They know the word. They spend time with God daily, but they're too scared to talk about Christ. Can you see that both is important? Okay. Are we together on this, guys? Right, this is what we needed. This is what we're asking God for. Here we go. I'm going to give you three things on reaching the people out there. You've got number one and two. It's all three things starts with the letter P. I'm going to give you three P's tonight. Nie erkies nie, but three P's, okay? We're reading out of Matthew 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and he followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, where he went to his home, okay, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they always rock up everywhere. You can't get them out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I mean. They said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." Matthew 4 verse 9, I'm just repeating that. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I'm just going a chapter earlier. At this place where Christ talked to the disciples, I'm just going a bit earlier. He says, "Follow me and I will make something of you. I will make something of you. You're not it right now. At this stage, you're at one place, but I'm going to make you something. I'm going to love you into something that I see you can be. And even though you're not there right now, I don't care, because when I look at you, I see that you are going to be a fisher of men." And it's actually exactly what he's doing at Matthew's house. Because he's a tax collector and they stole from the people. He's a thief. And Christ is looking at this man and he's seeing what he's going to be, and he's going to his house. He's looking ahead. I know where he's ending up. I'm at his house. Even though he's not presenting it right now, this man's got a good heart. He will work for me. He will do amazing things. And Jesus heads into his house. And the Pharisees, they can't see this. They can't understand this. Why are you eating with this man? You know why? Because I see something that you can't see. And sometimes we are the Pharisees. We actually spoke about it last week. Get last week's sermon if you want to just have a bit more handles on this. But sometimes the people here are caught in sin, and the Pharisee says, "Oh, you are sleeping around, you're stupid. Oh, you're doing this, just get away from me, you're unholy." And Christ comes here and he says, "You know what, when I touch this man, he's going to be here. When I talk to him, his heart's going to change. I see what it's going to be, and that's the difference." And so the tax collector, the Pharisees comes in and they criticize Christ. Can we go to slide 15? I'm just skipping a few. Kamp mense raak moeg. And so this is what's on Christ's heart. I'm not seeing them for who they are, but for who they will be. This is such an important part of evangelism. I cannot stop talking about this. If we are unable to see what is hiding behind that pain, what is hiding behind that place they're stuck in right now, if we cannot see it, we cannot call it to life. We need that ability to look beyond. And there's your first one. The first P of evangelism is prophetic evangelism. I see what has not yet been formed, but I see it. And I act on that. You are going to change this town. Right now, you're messing it up. Don't tell it to that person. Think it, okay? But you will change this town. Right now, you are messing your life up and that other person's life you're involved with, but I see that you're actually going to change much more lives in this town. Do you want to come and eat at my house? Just like Christ did. Why are you eating with that man? I'll tell you why. Because Christ came to seek and save the lost. And this man is going to do amazing things for Christ. And I'm going to love him into it. Amen? Holy Spirit, how do you see this person? That's a very good prayer to pray. You should be thinking of people right now to go to and affirm who they are. You need to go to that person at work that's irritating everyone. And you know why they're irritating everyone? Because they want to be seen, because they don't know who they are. They don't know what their identity is. So go to them and tell them. Tell them that God made them, man. That's not confrontational. Tell them that God made them, that He's got a plan for their lives. And if they ever want to talk or pray about anything, they can come to you and leave it there. Before you have that conversation, you've already put yourself out for a sacrificial friendship and you skillfully testified, and now we're starting with peace. You're seeing something that's going to be. Make sense? It's very easy. But I think we're starting to get this in this church, I must say. And I think that's why we're growing so rapidly. Because people are really loving people closer to Christ. People respond to people who gives hope. That's it. A hopeless leader has no followers. A leader that inspires hope, people will follow him. But out there, you're the leader, right? Matthew needed someone to step into his life and call out what is in there. Let's go on. I'm gonna play with this text, okay? That same text about Jesus in Matthew's house. Verse 10, and as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Okay, so here's the thing. Matthew has an encounter with Christ. He sees Jesus, and Jesus is on his way to his house. And I don't know if Matthew got saved on the way there. I'm not sure. I don't know if he would still get saved, but one thing he understands is he says, this guy that's on his way to my house, it will be an absolute mess up if I'm the only one there. I need to tell some people who's coming to my house because something has changed in my heart. And if I can get as many people there as possible into Jesus' presence, then maybe the same will happen in their hearts, what happened in my heart. Can you see where he's going? And so he's an evangelist. Do you need to be very mature to change someone's life? Must you be here? Bible school and all degrees in theology? No. If you've met Christ, like Matthew, right here, you can say, come. Don't worry about that. If you've met him, you can tell someone about him. Even if you're here, if you're starting to see him and you're on your way to meeting him, you can start calling people. Did you know that? You can be an evangelist from day one. And so, I just want to tell you guys this. Maybe you don't have the right words right now to give all the answers, but you can bring them to church. Maybe you've got a great relationship with them, but maybe small group is a place where your small group leader can help them work through something specific, because maybe they're married and you're not, and it's weird counseling married people when you're single. It doesn't make sense. So just bring them where Christ is. If Christ reclines at cell, if Christ is there, just take them there for a start. That's why we have these things. And so next year, especially in the beginning of the year, we're opening the front doors of the church very wide. Everything we do, we are so mindful of those new fragile people in this town coming in. So we are partnering with you to just bring them. We will help you introduce them to Christ. If you are confident, you can do it on your own. In their house, you can pray with them. But at some stage, you also want to then introduce them to God's people. So you can have a two-in-one. The other thing that's happening is disciples are there. And these guys' lives have recently been changed. And when they talk to one another, they're loving one another. They're caring for one another. All the tax collectors comes in. And now that loves flow over. They actually connect with them in a heart, in a place of a heart connection. And what does Scripture say? Scripture says that by the love you have for one another, I think it's two slides on. You can go there if you want to, Steph. By the love you have for one another, people will know that God actually exists. So if you bring people into a place where God's love is coming through people, their hearts will change. By this, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The only way they can see it is if they are reclining where we are reclining. Does that make sense? And for many people, church is such a terrible place. We've heard a testimony this weekend of a man that when he was, 15 years old, he served the Lord, and then it came out that the pastor was molesting one of the kids. And he walked away from church and he never came back for more than 10 years. For many people, that's their experience. So church might be a jump too far. Let them recline in your home. Bring them to your house. Give them food and just... But here's the key with this. Have some other friends there that's in the church as well so that they can help you connect with the people and so that love can be seen. Does that make sense? Romans 12 verse 4, for as one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So what happens is, that's one slide back, Steve. I sometimes connect with someone at the rugby club or somewhere, and we connect well, but the moment they come into church, there's actually someone else that God preordained to connect with that person, and we actually work as a team. And so I bring them here, and before I see myself, someone else is taking them for accountability, and amazing things are happening. And so we need that partnership with one another. We need to help one another, pray for the people, that's out there. We need to pray with one another for that and take hands. And so the second P is this, it's partnership evangelism. We need one another. Holy Spirit, help me to connect this person to the other believers in church. The us needs to kick in. We are here. And you know what? Everyone is kind to that person. Everyone cares for that person. It's very difficult sometimes in a big church because sometimes we're running and need to plug stuff in, drop speakers down. And so we take them to small groups so that they can see, hey, but here's 10 people that cares about me. And I don't know what it is because I'm a bit scared, but there's a love here that I can't put my finger on. And that's what that scripture in John speaks about. When you love one another, they will see. And so evangelism is a team sport. And that's why Matthew is not talking to his friends outside the house. He's bringing them in. He says, hey, here's the disciples. Here's Jesus. Let's sit and eat. And he just sits them down and stuff's going to happen. And here's the difference between the Pharisees and the disciples, or the Pharisees and Christ. The Pharisees, they fighting for exclusivity. We know the Bible. You stink and you stay that side. We dress different than you because we are better. We wear stuff that shows how long we've been praying. We are so amazing. You actually suck, okay? You stay that side. Then come Christ and he says, no. Come here. Everyone is welcome. Whosoever wants to come can be my son and my daughter. Amen? Partnership in evangelism. Last point. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they were reclining. I'm just using that word again. With Jesus. And so here's the thing. Can you put three chairs out for me? Thank you. This side of the base bin. This side of Rudy. Rudy, I think we must have a statue of you. Yeah, like permanent. Then awesome. You can stay, Rudy, for now. They can imagine. So here's the thing. Maybe you've come to church, you hear amazing things has happened in your life. Hey, maybe you find yourself here. Guys, I want to say, I hope you are experiencing the love I'm talking about. I pray you're experiencing encouragement from us. I pray that you experience me inviting you closer and not pushing you away. That is my prayer. And if you are on this side, we've all started here. Everyone. My boy is there right now, Caleb. No one gets born a Christian. He's this side. And I pray that he will also. I pray that there will people, maybe he gets saved when he's in school through Janae and I. Maybe he will only meet God in university or later. I pray already for the people that's going to draw him near. But here's the thing. If you are here and you know God wants to use you, you need to realize that for some people that wants to come to Christ, really want to experience his love, some of them, you're going to need to allow them to sit here first. Maybe they've never ever had a conversation where they said, I really feel lost. Maybe they've never told that to anyone. And maybe one day at work, they ask you for coffee and they just say, I feel far from God. You know what they're doing? They're reclining. They are sitting, they're taking a position, and they're not yet at the cross, but they are ready to start this conversation. And what you need to know is that that person has taken a big step. Maybe for some it's they talk more freely and they're very scared of church, but they're okay with maybe having accountability with you, reading through the Bible and discussing it. You know what? They are very close to Christ. They're in the Word. The Bible says the Word will change lives. And don't be frustrated because they're not jumping on that side yet. You are doing a great work. And so the tax collectors came and they just sat. But Jesus was there. And so what you need to do is you need to celebrate everything that happens here. You know what? You're going to make it, man. This is such a good conversation. You've got so much faith already just to share this with me. You celebrate literally hell out of them. All right? Until they're into heaven. You celebrate them every step of the way. Don't just look for you. Don't ask them to fall on their knees the first day. Some people will. I'll tell you, Ben and Elise, they're people like that. You get those people. They came, they said, we want to follow Christ. Boom, done and over. But we're all different. I'm going to call the names Rudy. As I mentioned at camp, Rudy, we had a relationship like this. And Sunette. Sunette, I'm going to talk about you. I'm sorry. Sunette's heart, God designed it like that, had to be won over with love. And so as the people in church, especially the girls, embraced her and loved her, she came closer and she accepted Christ for herself. Is that true, Sinead? It was a process. If we only can see this step, it's going to be too big and we're going to miss people. Don't walk away if they're sitting there. Amen? They're taking a big step for them. But be aware where they are. There was some stuff in Rudy's life. He can tell you about himself. I've never spoke about this stuff. I only talk about Jesus. Can you feel him when you pray? Can you hear him calling? Yes. Do you know how much he loves you? How can he love you? No, he loves you. I only spoke about Christ. When he got here, he opened up. He said, that is all these things. God is drawing sinners to himself. Amen. And Peter, almost done, from the Bible, starts probably the clown of the disciples. Gets everything wrong, okay? He makes stupid comments. He forsakes Christ as he's dying, okay? He goes back to fishing. Jesus said he's gonna be raised up on the third day. Peter's gone. They're fishing. Okay? And so Christ needs to go to the beach and say, hello. And he knows there's a process. And so what he does is he's not mad. He's not going to scale them out. He's brining fish for them as they come over. And when they hit the beach, he says, it's breakfast, guys. I'm back. Told you. And he ascends up to heaven. The Holy Spirit comes down and Peter, he just booms. First sermon, 3,000 people. Thousands upon thousands. What if Christ did not see this? What if you are loving on a Peter right now and he's just reclining here? Don't give up. You know what's my heart as a leader, and it should be our hearts, is that the guys in the church surpass me. Theo must preach better than me. Bates must preach better than me. And so I need to see this process where this person is at. And Christ saw it in Peter, changed the world. The third point I want to make is evangelism should be progressive. Sometimes the progression is very fast, the Ben and Elise example. There's just stuff that happened before I got there. I'm telling you, there's a progression because no one just gets saved. They need to hear the gospel. The Bible says no one should build a building before counting the cost. That all happens. Sometimes you just get there when they're here. Okay? They just walked the journey and you got here and they got saved the first night. You're like, oh, the first night they got saved. And maybe I'm wrong about you guys. Maybe there was a very long road before we met. But let me tell you what, if you can see this, engage for yourself, where is this person? You will motivate yourself not to give up on them. Amen. And there's our three P's that I want us to talk about in small group this week. Prophetic evangelism. Seeing someone not who they are, but who they will be. Partnership in evangelism. Hey, this is Bernard. He's also in our church. Thanks for Brian with us. Let's just have an awesome evening. Hey, this is Derek. Just meet and greet. Hey, well, how's this person's also kind to me? Oh, look at the way they talking to my child. I mean, wow, there's something in these people. Introduce them. And then progressive evangelism. Don't lose heart. Amen. When I was worshiping in front of church, I was a bit frustrated. Because I'm always praying for people, and sometimes I'm just like, rock and wakker, you vet? And God just said, don't beat the sheep. And I said, I won't. I will love them, Lord. And so I want to tell you, don't take a stick out of these people. Love them so they can come closer. Amen? To the weak, I became weak. I understand what's going on here. I'm not falling into sin. I understand. To the weak, I become weak. When I have accountability with someone here and they read a scripture and they interpret it wrong, but they've got something to say, I say hallelujah. Maybe they're not even saying that the Holy Spirit's not helping them in the way He will, but they are coming closer. I'm understanding where they're at. So if they sit here, I sit here with them for a moment. I climb into their world and I encourage them this way. I've become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. And maybe tonight you are this side and you're like, oh, okay, now it makes sense because I've been so harsh on myself with those people. You know what? Give yourself a break. Scripture says you can put a seed in the ground, you can give it water, but you cannot cause it to grow. I love what Lynette said now. I think it was on Facebook. Are you here, Lynette? Oh, she's with toddlers. She said, we're so proud as people, we can't even make rain. You know, we think we know everything, but when God says, I'm going to hold the clouds back, then we can pray. You know? We can't cause hearts to turn to Christ. We can love, we can plant seeds, and we can water, and then the Holy Spirit must do a miracle. Don't put that pressure on yourself. But I'm telling you now, there's people with open hearts that's coming. And mark my words, January, they're going to be here knocking. Help me. Are you ready to be that one person for someone? To take them by the hand. Let's stand tonight. And let's finish off. We're going to do this, everyone. We're going to do this, amen?